There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
What's happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast with me, Colin Geddes, coming at you live from the studio in the garage. It's hitting that time of the year, man, where things are getting hectic, and when we're doing podcasts, we're squeezing them in. We're squeezing them into whenever the fuck we can squeeze them into. And I'm sitting here in the garage, and I've made a little setup. And I'll be honest with you, the money we spent on the office in Belfast, you know, you throw a couple of lights up in this garage, I'm like, I think I prefer this. Do I prefer this? I had Collie 12 sets. I've had comments before in this podcast, people going, hey, man, pick a set. I can't pick a set, man. I change my mind flat out. Keep you guessing, man. Keep you guessing as to what you're going to fucking be putting on your TV at the end of your bed. Which still freaks me out, by the way. You know, people will send me videos like, oh, you know, chilling out with bit of General Banter, and they're in bed with it on the TV at the bottom of the thing. Unbelievable. You know, flicking their beans, hopefully, all being well. Different machine, different buttons. Anyway, guys, welcome to the podcast. Hopefully, I don't know whether you're part of the patreon.com/generalbanterpodcast, where we stick up our bonus episodes, and I say ours, I mean mine. And we also have first dibs on tickets and stuff like that. That's where all the merch goes. And also over Christmas here, I'm working on something very special. It is actually a special. I've got a special from last year. It's been sitting there. We shot it in Laveries, and you know, I've been trying to figure out when or how to put it out. And I think I'll do it over. I mean, wouldn't it be absolutely just a big set of bollocks to go, Dave Chappelle's putting one out on the 31st. I'll put mine out on the 31st too. Imagine how no views it would get. But then again, who knows? You might have some people in their beds there flicking their beans going, maybe I'd rather watch Colin, you know, do jokes about the Queen dying than listen to a second of Dave Chappelle, you know? But it's going up, and you know, as I mentioned, did I mention it last week that the Bonnevilles might be doing an original piece of music for that special? Which, you know, I was willing to pay hard cash to them. And I was like, would you have any interest in doing like an original piece of music, 60 seconds long, for the intro to my special? And I was like, how much would that cost me? And they were like, nothing. Well, you know, but for the record, I did pay them a lot of money. If anyone else wants original soundtrack, I paid him a ton of cash. But anyway, hopefully that comes through and we can get a cool intro done and get the special up, probably on Patreon first. Or I might just go for a straight up public release. I don't know. Or maybe an extended cut for the Patreon or something like that. I don't know. I keep touching this microphone. Anyway, it's the Christmas season. What time of day is it? It's 10:30 in the morning, guys, but it might as well be fucking 4 in the morning. I don't know. I hate to go on about the weather, but the boys have seasonal affected disorder or whatever. Hard to get out of bed, man. Hard to get out of bed these days. You know, take your child to play school. You see everyone else. You see the look on everyone else's face, just like, what the fuck are we doing here? I couldn't be arsed with this shit. Me and all the mummies. Me just walking through all the mummies looking like a goddamn terrorist. But it's that time of year. It's Christmas. It's Christmas season. People are taking their kids this. I mean, here. Let me tell you a quick Christmas tale about how I got molested. We took Eddie to this Santa experience thing. Here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to not mention where it was. They'll know where it is, the people involved. But I'm not going to mention where it was. But we went to this thing, and it was supposed to be a beautiful day out for Eddie. It's a Christmas experience, and I got molested, okay?
Will you fuck up, too?
Wrong button. What one was I meant to hit? Molested. Trigger warning. We go to this thing. It's one of these, It's one of the, I mean, this is the way people make money now. Do you want to organize a day out for your kid? You know, have you got a field? Fuck a load of pumpkins around it and charge 30 quid in to go and pick up your own pumpkin. Go pick. Do you want to do a bit of farm? Do you want to pay to do a bit of farming? Do you know what's cheaper than going to a field to pick up a fucking pumpkin that someone's fucked in the ground? Going to a supermarket and buying a pumpkin. Way cheaper. They've done the work for you for a fraction of the price. But somehow people are like, no, let's go walk around this fucking corn maze thing. And then someone's driven around on a quad and fucked a load of pumpkins all over the place. And you pay through the nose to walk around and be like, oh, we got one. Do you know how hectic it is? You have to get the child a wheelbarrow and you put the fucking thing in a wheelbarrow and the kid got... Anyway, that's Halloween. But at Christmas, you know, they do these things too. They're like, we've got a couple of containers. Well, now in fairness, this place was amazing. It was amazing. You go in, they've got all these actors in there. Guy's like, hello, kids. Welcome to fucking Santa's Polar Express or something. And we get on that, and it's fair play to them. They did a great job, but it's, you know, it's always awkward to go to like a folk and transport museum or go somewhere or go to one of these cabaret clubs where someone's like, let me, you know, fucking, let's pretend this is reality for a second, my guys. You're in a magical fucking... Meanwhile, the children scared shitless the whole time. And anyway, we get in Santa's fucking Polar Express or whatever. We're in there. You know, they've got TVs up the side of this fake train. It looks like the thing takes off. Eddie's like, oh, that's amazing. And then it gets to the end of that and they're like, are you ready for the next bit? And then they go into the next bit and they've got, and I will keep stating this fact, fair play to them. They've done a lot of work to this. And they had this guy in a suit or whatever. It's supposed to be like a Yeti. It comes out. Of course, every kid there shits themselves. You know, this fucking, you know, like 7 foot fucking Yeti thing comes out. Roar. And all the kids are hiding behind their parents and shit. There's like four sets of parents with kids. And everyone's like, Johnny, who wants to get a photo with this fucking Yeti? And all the kids are like, no, thanks. So I got a photo with it. It's probably the one you've seen on Patreon. And then you go into the next bit, and they've got this big fucking guy, again, a guy in a suit, looks like a big animatronics thing, supposed to be like an old Christmas elf. And he's like, I wrote a letter to Santa, blah, 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 and I received a fucking, you know, and everyone, all the kids are sitting there going, oh, it's mystical. And then we go into the next bit where there's two quote unquote, some so-called elves, okay? And everybody, you know, everybody else was a wee theater kid or some sort of trained actor. The vibe off these ones, they just grab someone off the street. And they're like, hey, Siobhan and Sean, do you want to be elves for Christmas? And they were like, absolutely. So we go in there and this guy's like, oh, you know, I'm fucking whatever the elf, you know, and I've got a fucking candy cane here and it's got a beeper on it to see who's been naughty. And the joke is they walk around and go, doo, 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 and all the dads have been naughty, haven't they? All the dads have been naughty, you know? And goes off, doo, 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 doo. The guy's in character, like, guy's in character. He's like, oh, you know, who's been naughty today? Beep, 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 beep. Gets over to me, goes like, doo, 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 doo. He goes, oh, we've got a celebrity in the room. Now, the bit might, first of all, celebrity, what even is that anymore? I don't know. We've got a celebrity. Guy's on the internet a bit. Has a podcast. Who gives a fuck? He goes, oh, we got a celebrity. Comes out of character a wee bit because he's quite close to me. He goes, are you Colin Guinness? And I go, both of, I don't know what my face was like. But if you're watching this on video, it was definitely like this. Yeah. Back to character there. Stay in the bit. And he's like, oh, he's been a naughty boy. We got a comedian. And then, you know, obviously all the fucking doo-doo-doo, the things go off. And they're like, okay, oh, everyone who's been naughty, stand up. Me and the other dads, okay? Got another couple of regular dads. Got me in there dressed like fucking, you know, drug dealer. And then you got like one dad who's, you know, obviously a bit of a mod or whatever. He's got that haircut that those guys have. He's got Clarks on, you know. Not a stranger to like a Liam Gallagher gig, right? And we get up there and he's like, okay, to get yourself off the naughty list, you gotta sing a song or do a dance or tell a joke or whatever. Guy goes, surely you know a joke. And I'm like, bitch, have you seen my material? I'm not keeping track of little Christmas cracker jokes that I can just fucking dish out whenever I want. You know, I'm not going to launch into a goddamn Jeffrey Epstein bit here in front of these other parents. Once again, the bit would have worked had any of the other parents, if all the other parents were like, there's your man, he does a bit of comedy, has a podcast, you know, there's Barry a blender, this'll be funny, making a cunt of himself. Now, all the dads are up, the kids, not engaged. The kids are like, fucking, who gives a fuck, where's Santa, you know, fucking speed it up, bitch. They're all fucking talking to their mummies, all the dads are up there. These two fucking elves are terrorizing us. They're like, oh, well, you gotta sing a song or do that. Do you know a joke? I'm like, nah, bitch, not for this room. And then they're saying to the other dad, like, oh, you've been a naughty boy. The woman goes to the guy, drop down and give me 20. And the guy's like joking, he's like, I'll give you 5. And she goes, I'll meet you in the middle, give me 10. And he gets on the floor, starts doing press-ups. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I'm like, your family are, like, it's not like your kids are going, daddy's being made to do exercises. I'm just looking at this guy, you know, on the floor doing goddamn, looks like Paul Weller doing goddamn push-ups on the floor. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But you're in that environment, you know, they've cornered you. They've cornered you where they're like, we, you're surrounded by children. We're going to fucking make you do whatever we want, you know? And you can't just be like, listen, bitch, shut the fuck up and get me into Santa, okay? It's a Sunday. I'm hungover, for fuck's sake. And then it go to me, you can't tell a joke. You're going to have to fucking do a dance. At this point, Eddie gets up. One of the elves starts dancing and he's like, copy me. And, you know, I'm fucking doing the wee fucking kid dances with Eddie and all. And then this other lunatic, she's running around like, oh, I hope you didn't meet your wife on a fucking dance floor with those moves. And then she's like, okay, the dads are going to have a booty shaking contest. I'm like, this is a fucking children's Santa experience. Not a schoolboy Q video, okay? I'm not going to start twerking in front of fucking someone's child. Now, I'm not this type of person. If I was this type of person, I'd be on fucking, you know what I mean? I'd be in the MDM. I'd be in them emails. Regarding your elf staff, okay? She's fucking grabbed me by the hips. Oh, you know, shake your ass. And I was like, bitch, what the fuck? Here. Hashtag me too. You know what I mean? And I can't emphasize how much the kids weren't giving a fuck about this because they knew Santa was next door. So she's like, yeah, get your hips on. I'm like, yeah, you're fucking dancing like a cunt here and no one's even watching, you know? At least give me the dignity of a crowd, okay? Shake up, fucking moving about and all. She's getting, we're not done with you. Sit down and all. And I'm like, okay, for fuck. In my face the whole time. Like, all right, well, just get me the fuck out of here. Sit down. And she's like, fucking, I don't know, what did she say? I don't know what she said, blah, blah. And she like just grabbed my hat, lifted it off. And I'm like, bitch, that's fucking, hey. Anything, but I have no pride in my appearance, but the hats, bitch, don't touch the hat, okay? Get your stinking fucking fingers all over my ALD hat, bitch, you know? That's drip you don't even know about out in these parts, you know what I mean? Don't touch it. She lifts it off, and I was like, oh, what's on her here? Santa's baubles? As in, like, you're bald. Oh, belter. And again, I stress this, nobody's watching. She's just molesting me. And I'm just sitting there, and then eventually we were and she'd fucked about with me that long that we were like last in the Santa queue. The next group comes in, and then they have to snap back into character for the next group. And we're still waiting there, like, what's going on here? And then they start into their whole bits again. And then they're like, okay, Santa's ready for you. Bro, I walked out, man. The sarky look in my face, I was like, right, fucking good. Move. Just jumped up, walked out. I was like, have a nice Christmas. And I was like, fuck off. Fuck away off. Okay. And then we just had, Maureen was probably going, he's going to burst here. He's going to absolutely bust. And not in a sexual way. He's going to absolutely freak out here. And I just had to be there, like, the rest of the time because we went into Santa. And the Santa, 10 out of 10 on the Santa, you know. Even for a second, I was like, can I get a bike for Christmas? And, you know, he was good. He was like, close your eyes and, you know, whatever, imagine the magic of Christmas. And then you open your eyes and the fucking snow machines come on, there's snow falling on the ground. I'm like, this is wonderful, look up here, get a photo. But the whole time I was walking out of this place, like, yeah, I had a good time, I had a great time. It's good this Christmas, isn't it? Post molestation.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
And then Eddie Scene, of course. You know, Christmas shops are like, this place is very impressive. They've got like trees covered in ornaments where you're like, how much is that tree? £16,000. Because everything on it is goddamn. You want to buy a giant bauble like the size of a balloon? Look at the price, £30. Okay. And then, of course, there's a little stand with, like, Grinch stuff. Eddie's obsessed with the Grinch. He's like, Daddy, look at this. Can we get this? And he just goes to grab it and walk out. And I'm like, we got to pay for it. And he goes, okay. And then he lost interest immediately, and I went and paid for it. A little figurine of the Grinch. Took it up to the till. This is much the same as the bit that I do about buying the fucking christening candle. I go up. I'll take that there for the child. Sure, it's hanging on the trees. Big fan of the Grinch. $28.99. Suck. Suck me through a milking table. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. And I just had, it's similar to when I was being molested by the elves. I just had to be like, thank you. Merry Christmas. And then we're just back in the car. And Maureen wasn't sitting. Maureen was looking ahead. She was probably like, I can tell he's bubbling up in there. And I'm just driving the car like, everyone have a good time? Yeah, that's good. Everyone had a good time. You know, now I'm triggered. You know, go home. Do you want to watch Elf? No, I don't want to watch Elf. I don't want to watch Elf. They're going to steal my hat and make me twerk. The fucking bastards. And listen, I'm all for the crack. But they're at a point where you're going, this isn't even for the, this isn't for the children. It's all about the children. And this seems to be a lot about what you can make people do, because no one's going to tell you to fuck off because all their kids are there, you know. But anyway, that's my holidays ruined. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, for fuck's sake. But it's been a week. It's been a week of Christmas festivities anyway, me getting molested by elves. We did the Never Mind the Mock Blame. We did that. That's I don't even know who owns this thing. I think it's Kieran Bartlett and fucking, is it Butler? Yeah, I think them two worked together to make this quiz. And it was at the waterfront. Every bastard ticket in the place was sold. It's the first one I've done. They were like, would you like to do this? And I was like, sure. And there was a bus strike on. So getting into Belfast, fucking disaster. I mean, Belfast's not even a real city, is it? Like, they cancel the buses and trains that don't even fucking come half the time. And it still fucks up the goddamn city. Took me like an hour and a half to get into the fucking waterfront. And we get in there. All the teams are there. My team's Paddy McDonald, Deona Doherty, and which is kind of, you know, it's kind of like, kind of unfair. Because, you know, the other team is obviously Kieran and William and Shane. They're best buds, you know what I mean? They're all fucking, they're in it from the start. They know the crack. They've got wee jokes and bits that they want to do. And me and fucking Paddy and the owner just thrown together. And, you know, the game's all like, you got to make Christmas puns about, you know, take a Christmas song and make it like a Northern Irish pun. Or take a fucking action hero movie and make it Northern Irish, you know what I mean? Northern Iron Man, things like that. But it was good crack now, I must say. I felt like, because you're on a panel of three, and then there's another panel of three, and a host and everything, you know, like I'm used to doing podcasts where I'm in charge of the content or what's happening. And in this occasion, I was just sitting there trying to say some funny things in between. Hopefully it was all right. I don't know. But, you know, I remember Aaron saying one time, it was a bit of a character assassination. He was saying, like, you know, you will, like, overdo a thing to compensate for any sort of embarrassment or shame. You know, like, he's like, you'll walk through a room, you'll, like, you know, knock a bottle of water over with your elbow, and then in a fit of rage, just pick it up and throw it across the room in a funny way, you know, like trying to be like, oh, you think I've made a mistake? I'll make a double mistake. You know, let's make an event out of this. Perfectly normal behavior for a 37-year-old, but you know, it shone through at this mock blame thing, because we did all our rounds, you know, and you know, they got some answers, we got some answers, blah, blah, blah. And at the last round, it ends up being like, you know, 34 and a half points to 35 or something, some bullshit like this. And you go to a quickfire round. Now, the way Aaron Butler organized this was pretty clever. There's a QR code on the screen, and you basically, you click the QR code and it takes you through to like a little polling station. And you vote on the team member that you want to do the quickfire round. So they go to Kieran's team, and, you know, by a landslide, he is, Shane and fucking Willie have, you know, like 20 fucking votes each. And then Kieran, he's sitting on like 180. And then by the time they got to our team, I'm sitting on the fucking 225 or something. And Deona and Patty had a couple of points. So again, by a long stretch, I was voted to do the fucking, the quickfire questions. Now, when they go over to fucking their team, the questions were like total bullshit. I was like, they were like, well, I can't remember exactly the question. It was like, what's the capital of England? Who wrote fucking Game of Thrones? Or who wrote Harry Potter or something? Like the most obvious shit going. And then it gets to me, and I'm already nervous because I'm like, okay, well, you know, Paddy's here. I was expecting like, oh, it might be funny. I was expecting people to go, you know, it might be funny if Paddy answers these questions. It would have been better off if he answered them, because I royally fucked them. But at the same time, and I did that thing, I did the overcompensation for the embarrassment. The first question was like, what's the fucking capital? Not that these questions are impossible, but they're, as a quickfire, these are more, you know, like pub quiz type ones where you're sitting with a team and they're like, what's the capital of Argentina? And you go, oh, Jesus, what is that? Never really thought about it. What is it? And then you start rattling off a couple of town names, and then you go, that is it. And then you write it down. Not when it's quickfire. So what's the capital of Argentina? I'm like, ah, I don't fucking know. Pass. Next question. Who was the first female to win the Nobel Peace Prize? I'm like, what the fuck are these questions? It went from like 11 plus to fucking PhD in goddamn, I don't know what that was for. Politics? I don't know. History? I don't know. The questions were hectic. So I lost the rag. I just thought, you know what? We'll close this out. I'll take one for the team. And by take one, I mean I will lose the game for the team by being a silly bastard. And like, in social media, what's the acronym DM stand for? And I went, dick's massive, big laugh. You know what I mean? And then I thought, fuck it. I'm not here for point. I was like Mac in It's Always Sunny. I'm not going for laughs. I'm going for gasps. Okay? Or claps or gasps. I don't know what it was. But I was going for laughs. I was like, shove your points up your hole. I give up. It's not my game. You know what I mean? What's DM stand for? Dex Massive. Yeah. Who won the fucking Peace Prize thing? Ellen DeGeneres. I didn't give a fuck at that point. But they were getting laughs, you know? And I just, some of the answers I did know. And I was just like, I don't care. I'm just going to fucking do them wrong anyway. Who hosted the World Cup? Qatar. All right. Fucking who gives a shit? But I think, do you know what? You're welcome, guys. Because that's the closer now. Is me just answering all the questions wrong. In the name of comedy. And it worked. So you're fucking welcome. But that was it. We had a great time. And of course, you know, I was on just, you know, you get married, you basically adopt a family of in-laws that you're also responsible for. So, you know, I was straight out the door of that. and straight to pick up Maureen's sister who'd been out on a Christmas day. So that's my life. 1,800 people 1 minute. Yeah. Driving someone home drunk the next minute. We did get a McDonald's, so it's all good. But that was it. And then that's what else pissed me off. We turned up just in our normal clothes, and Shane and Willie and Kieran, they got their wee outfits sorted and all. Kieran comes out as Santa Claus. You know, fucking bastards. Throwing sweets into the crowd. No, I was like, it's almost like you've planned this, you know, to give the crowd a better time, you motherfuckers. And they were such a rare looking bunch of cunts that they didn't even look funny. You know, I said that to him. I was like, you think this is funny and novelty? You look fine. You know, you look like you should. William, you look like you should be dressed like an elf. No harm to you. And stand in someone's garden with a fishing rod. Kieran, you look like Santa. Congrats. Which backfired on him because obviously you're under the stage lights and he's absolutely sweating buckets. So he ended up in a green t-shirt and Santa trousers. You know what I mean? Which, not a bad look for him, to be fair. But that was it. That was my weekend. Missed all the sports. Missed all the rugby. Had to watch the UFC on fucking highlights and shit. Drama going on at the UFC. People, your man Sean Strickland just fucking... I mean, what about that? Did you see that on the internet? He got in a fight in the crowd with... What's his name? Du Plessis? One of those hilarious fucking South African names. My name is Dricus Du Plessis. You know? South African names, bro. Lunatics. Faf de Klerk. These are all rugby players. What was that other one called? Backies, both. Like, mental names. There's like a wee girl. There's like... Sean Strickland's on a row, and then the row behind, there's like a wee girl. And then behind that is... this South African dude, and he goes to the wee girl, like, watch out of the way a wee second. Just you stand to the side a wee second, jumps up, bang, bang, bang. Some of these motherfuckers, I mean, like, and people are like, oh my God, that's shocking behavior. These people fight for a living all day, every day, surrounded by other dudes who fight for a living. And then they have a fight, and people are like, oh my God, disgusting behavior. But anyway, I don't know why I've started talking about that. I didn't even watch it. Paddy the Batty, he won. He beat Tony Ferguson, who is 100 years old and was doing most of his training with David Goggins. And clip of the whole thing was, you know, Paddy Pimblett won, and then they were like, oh, what do you think about Tony Ferguson being trained by David Goggins? And he's like, lads, I don't give a fuck about fucking David Goggins. And what did he say? He's like, who's going to carry the boats? And he goes, not fucking him. Oh, there's so many who's going to carry the boats, guys. You know? Just like guys whose lives are, I'm one of them, comfortable, you know? Comfortable lives. And then going, I need to harden my mindset by making myself do fucking ludicrous things. You know, David Goggins has said that a million times where he's like, you know, forcing yourself to do really hectic things when you don't have to. You know, like, if you had to run fucking 30 miles to save your life, you would do it. But he's like, what about when you don't have to save your life? You know, what about when you just get up on a Tuesday and go run 30 miles till you're fucking... you get a pulmonary embolism or whatever you call it, you know, bleeding up inside them lungs. You're like, Davey, I'm all right, man. You know, I think I'll just go to the deli here and get a fucking bacon baguette, if that's all right with you. And I do stay hard, you know, but the body stays soft, the dick hard, you know. But like I've mentioned, I am a pro boxer now, so that might all have changed. I'll tell you what, your boy's getting all right. Like, your boy's getting okay at the boxing. Like, I'm not... shite. I'm not, for someone who's been to four classes, I'm not totally shite. You know what I mean? If you stood still with your eyes closed and I smacked you in the face, you'd feel it. Do you know what I mean? If I snuck up on you when you weren't expecting and drove that hook to the body, you'd feel it. You know, I'm not completely useless. Okay. And I didn't know there were so many boxing experts out there. You know, guys in there being like, fucking, Some guy goes, taxi hands. I was like, what the fuck is that? What does that even mean? Let me see. Is that like some sort? Let me see. Let me look that up. Taxi hands boxing. Is this some sort of jargon that they have? Taxi hands? Huh? Why do... What? Why do people call basically all unknown boxers cab drivers? Come on, bitch. Is used in boxing to refer to an unknown or unexperienced boxer who is perceived as having low skill level. The term implies that the boxer's level of skill is equivalent to that of a taxi driver who happens to step into the ring. It's a way of diminishing the perceived ability or experience of the boxer. However, it's important to note that this term can be seen as disrespectful to both boxers and cab drivers. Yeah. I'm sure there's a few cab drivers out there beat the fuck out of you. And it's not an accurate reflection of the diverse backgrounds and experiences of individuals are there in their professions. All right, is that what the guy means when he writes to me fucking... as taxi hands? Imagine a fat bastard comedian who has a podcast trying out boxing because there's a charity boxing match coming up and people going, bro, what are you, a taxi driver with them hands? Burn. Absolute burn. Anyway, my main obsession, this is the thing I want to discuss. Like, I don't know how many parents are listening to this podcast, but what about, I mean, we've all heard of danger wanks, but what about the danger sleep? I was at my sister's house yesterday. Maureen didn't go because she was like coughing nonstop and it was disgusting. And I'll tell you what, that's unlocked a new, not an ick, but like, do you know when people are like, oh, I can't stand the sound of nails going down a chalkboard, or I can't stand the sound of whatever. See people coughing near me drives me fucking mental. You know, I don't know why, and it's my wife, and I love her, and my son has a cough at the minute. I love him. But see when they start coughing, I'm like, would you just fuck off? The coughing, man, drive you absolutely nuts. I don't know what it is. Is it having fucking ADHD, and you're like, man, there's just a noise that I can't not focus on? Maybe it's girls coughing, you know, because fellas just go and girls go. You're like, get it out of you in one go, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ. But she didn't go anyway, so go to my sister's house, fuck around all day, eat her dinner. Shout out, you know, she made dinner, but I mean, you know, she hasn't watched as much cooking content as I have, put it that way, you know. She's taxi chef, if you know what I mean. And we go there, you know, our son's playing around, playing with a dog, blah, blah, blah. We get him in the car. Obviously, the country goes dark at fucking 4 o'clock. So we get him in the car, driving home, and he stays awake the whole time. I'm like, do you want this Spider-Man toy? He's like, no. I'm like, do you want... I don't even have a fucking... He's never on the iPad because I don't want him to turn into one of those fucking Chinese kids who fall asleep and do like sleep swiping. Have you ever seen that? Kid falls asleep and he's like fucking flicking through TikTok. He's like 2 years old and he's like sleep flicking. Which was a different thing in my day. But you see them and then you see some kids who are like fucking... You know, they're like absolutely the best at taking in content. They've got the fucking iPad here with the Twitch streaming on one side. And then a phone just flicking through TikTok on the other one. Like, they're not only is it ruining their lives, they're getting so good at it that they can do it like, you know, like fucking, what's that movie? Bourne Supremacy or whatever the fuck it is with all the screens. They're just like, I'm so good at taking in information. Two eyes moving at different speeds like a fucking chameleon. I tried to offer, you know, I don't even know if there was an iPad. I was nearly going to go like, do you want something? Do you want to watch a wee video on YouTube? I'm trying to keep a motherfucker awake. It's dark. It's 4:45. We get down the motorway, we're close to the house, we pass the last garage near our house, which is about 5 minutes from the house. He falls asleep, and I'm like, oh, you motherfucker! Because we all know what that means. Any child that falls asleep between like 4 and 5, you're doing the night shift. That's the crack. Like the guy falls asleep at like dinner time. And then we got him upstairs. By the time we got him in, it was about 5:30. he's asleep on my shoulder. I'm like, he fell asleep. Maureen was like, how long has he been asleep for? And I was like, 4 minutes. He fell asleep a minute ago and I've lifted him out of the car. And she's like, well, he was up late last night and it's like 5:30 and blah, blah, blah. I was like, should we just try and get him in his jammies and put him in the bed? So I take his woolly jumper off. Luckily he's wearing like a long sleeve thing. Set him on the bed. She goes to take the fucking jeans off him to put the jammy bottoms on. He just wakes up. And see, whatever that was, 15 minutes of sleep, bro. He's a bit like me, in fairness. The recharge, swift. Because he woke up and he was like, hey, I've got a bad cough. So he kept saying, I've got a bad cough. So this cough's a nightmare. And the two of them are coughing at each other back and forward. And I was like, well, do you know what? He's had the sleep and I've had him out all day. Best of luck. I've got lavries to organize here. So God knows what time he went to bed at. I just dumped him off. I dumped him off with Maureen. I was like, you deal with him. Motherfucker's probably going to go to bed at 11:45 tonight. So, because he slept for 7 minutes. Go ahead. And, you know, if there's any parents out there, you know the crack. You know the crack. It's like your kid falls asleep before. It's like working a shift at Christmas. That's what having a child is like, if you don't have a child. Working retail at Christmas, but it's every day. We're going to need you in early. Okay. People knocking on the door, 6:45. You should be open now. You come in and wall to wall, fucking chaos. And having a kid is like, I'm working a 7 to 7 and it's absolutely hectic. And when they have a nap at 5:00, it's like your boss going, are you supposed to go at 7? Are you away on at 7? Yeah. And they're like, we're going to need you to stay to 12. Why? Someone's sick and they can't cover you. And we have no other choice. We'll pay you the same hourly rate. And you're sitting there like, I'm going to kill myself. And they're like, well, nothing we can do about it. 'Tis the season. That's what that 5:00 nap is like. Fucking nightmare. It's like buying yourself overtime when you're already hungover and knackered. It's a goddamn nightmare. What else have I done this week? This is my obsession this week has been shout out to Dave Elliott. He was on at Lavery's last week, man. I swear to God. Shout out to anyone who's been. But we went in on the Wednesday. It was fucking great times. I was emceeing. We had funny people in the front row. I was having a right laugh with them. Fucking. Oh, it was great. Everyone came on. Dave had a good set. Fucking. Who else was on? I think Aaron was on. I don't know. Everyone had a good set. Tom O'Mahony was up. He went up. He killed. It was a great night on Wednesday. I walk out there on Thursday to MC. Lunatics. Front row just full of absolute glue bags. All these boys from, and they made sure they said this, Londonderry. And of course, I went like this in the air, as you know. And he's like, we're from Londonderry. One fella was from like Donegal. He's like, I make blocks. And he was fully inaudible. I don't know what the fuck accent he had. But they were just animals. And everyone behind them was fucking eyeballing them, like, shut the fuck up. And what can you do? Like, you know, they were having a good time, but it's just like, shut up. And then everyone had a bit of not a shocker, but everyone was just like, that was not pleasant. And I was like, this is it. That's the Christmas. Just when you're wondering, like, when does the Christmas period kick in? Today. Like, just on, was it like the 14th or so? I was just like, just on that day, that's when everyone starts to lose their shit. People are fighting in the streets, spoken all over the place. I was just like, it's Christmas now. And then Dave was, they were talking out the back. They were like, oh, you got to listen to this podcast. And it was, let me get the motherfucking name of this thing up here, because it took me about 4 goes to listen to it. The Sean Ryan Show. And the episode is episode 27, Rob O'Neill, the man who killed Ben Laden. And Dave was on about this. He's like, you got to listen to it. You got to listen to it. It's 3 hours long. I was like, sweet. And I put it on the way home. And Jesus Christ, bro, glued to it. They're talking to this guy who was the guy who ended up killing Ben Laden in the end. You know, he was obviously part of a team who went into the house and killed him. But, you know, just by whatever order they walked in on, you know, one guy did one thing, he did another, and he turned around and Bin Laden was there and he just like, bap, killed him. But having listened to the podcast, you know what I mean? You're like, killing Bin Laden might be the fucking tamest thing these motherfuckers have done. Killing Bin Laden seemed like a goddamn, you know, quiet day at the office for these guys. You know, because obviously the first hour of the podcast is him talking about, oh, this is the train that did, and it did this, and moved on to here, and this squadron, and blah, 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 and ended up here, and, you know, doing all that sort of shit, and, you know, talking about going to fucking Afghanistan, and, you know, obviously it started off, it was all, yeah, we're fucking, because this is what happens a lot, like, I've heard this before, where people here in, like, regular army, or, you know, adjacent things like that, who go to these places and have to sort of keep the peace. They're looking out for danger. There's boys attacking them. There's fucking IEDs. There's all sorts of shit. And they're the ones that come back with like PTSD. Whereas anyone on these SEAL teams and fucking Marines and SBS and all this shit, they're like the fucking, the kill squad. So they're like, here's the actual target. We're going to swoop in on them and ambush them and fucking kill them. So you're the good guy. You're the predator. They're looking out for you. You know, I am the one who knocks. So the PTSD rate seems to be a lot less with them. So this guy's just telling all these stories, you know, I fucking went here and fucking bust in there and shot these motherfuckers and, you know, we're employed to kill people and blah, blah, blah. It's all good. And then it sort of started to leak through. He's like, yeah, you know, obviously the longer you're there, you start to be like, okay, what are we here for? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we're trying to hit these targets. Are we killing the right people? Et cetera, et cetera. And one of the stories was like, the guy was kind of like, do you regret any kills or whatever? And he goes, yeah, we did bust into a guy's house one time and he was lying in bed. And he's like, I give him the courtesy of going like, you know, freeze or something. But the guy's in his own bed. He's got an AK-47 beside the bed and he reached for the gun and I just shot him. And he's like, I don't particularly know who he was. Like, I don't know if he was in the Al-Qaeda. Or I don't know if he was just a guy who had a gun who was protecting himself against motherfucking Al-Qaeda, someone coming in his house, or just in general protecting his house. He probably didn't know if we were like US forces or fucking where we were from or what we were doing, but he reached for the gun, so I shot him. And he goes, yeah, I do sort of think about that sometimes, like, what, you know, did I need to shoot him? He's like, I sort of did need to shoot him because it was either me or him, but the guy could have just been protecting his house against anyone coming in. And you're like, okay, great. And then you just fucking go back, just go home. Talking all these stories about the locals and stuff where they were getting beer for a certain price off this guy. And then they sent the wee runner to get it one day and he comes back and he's like, oh yeah, it's gone up in price. And then they go down to the fucking, this wee off license and they're like, bitch, it's not even legal to sell drink in this country and you're trying to fucking do us over with a price. He's like, you give it to us for a normal price or we fucking kill you or get you arrested because it's illegal to have a fucking Heineken in this goddamn shithole country. Okay? Mad. And then he tells a story about actually killing Bin Laden. And you're like, I swear to God, this is what happened. I pulled up in the car. This is all spoiler alerts, by the way. You can still go listen to it. I'm missing loads of details. I'm listening to it in the car. This is one of these ones where I pulled up and I'm like sitting in the fucking courtesy car because, you know, the other one got smashed to bits. I sat for about another 20 minutes and just with my mouth open, staring out the window like, oh my God. The story was fucking incredible. They had some girl who worked for like, you know, they're always like these three-letter organizations, FBI, CIA. And she had all this intelligence on Bin Laden's actual layout of his house and she'd built like a scale model and all this shit. And they knew exactly the layout of the house and they flew in and fucking, I think it was Pakistan actually, that had to fly into Pakistan. And if my memory serves me right, they go in there, they had to like land this helicopter in a really dodgy fashion. They bust in the house, whatever. This girl knew exactly, you know, whoever done the planning was like, this is what the house looks like. This is who's going to be in it. You might have to pop a couple of security guards. You're going to go up into the middle floor. The only person in there is going to be Bin Laden's son, who's like 20. That's sort of the last line of defense before you get to Bin Laden's fucking bedroom. And sure enough, he said this exactly what the girl had planned out and showed them was exactly how the house was. They go in the house. They get up to the second floor. you know, they know Bin Laden's son's in there. He fucking has a gun, makes a dart for it, hides. And he said they were sitting there, and one of the guys in the team basically went like, hold on, I check this so I don't sound stupid. What language do Afghanis speak? What language do they speak in... Not Israel. No, click the wrong one. In... Let me see. Afghanistan. What? Dari and Pashto? Right? He basically said, like, he knew that Bin Laden's son spoke, like, three languages. So he basically went, like, come here, in fucking one of these languages. And Bin Laden's son goes, what? And then they just go, and fucking wipe him out. And your man Rob O'Neill was like, you know, like, where the fuck did you think of that, you fucking lunatic? You know? He's like, even in the moment, he was like, I was like, you fucking tactical genius, just to be like, yes, lad. And he's like, what? And they fucking wipe him out. And then they go upstairs, and I don't know what the fuck happened after that, like some sort of, like, kick the door in type shit. And there was like a grenade or something. Some guy dived on a grenade. Someone did something else. And the whatever direction he turned, he's like, I'm looking into this bedroom, and it's just Bin Laden. And he's like, I remember him being, he goes, he's a lot taller than I thought. He's got a grey beard. And he goes, he wasn't surrendering. Like, he was manoeuvring behind his wife, whether he was going to get fucking maneuver behind the wife like one last time. He was moving behind his wife to like grab a, he doesn't know what he was doing. He could have been grabbing a gun or anything. Or another thing they were worried about was that they would go into this house and these boys had rigged it up so that if they were ever attacked, they could just be like, well, we're fucked anyway. Martyr themselves, you know what I mean? And he says, I just turned around, Bin Laden's there, and he went to move for something, and he's just like, I just shot him. And then, you know, the podcast goes like very serious and fucking quiet, and the guy goes, where'd you get him? And he goes, I shot him 3 times in the face. And you're like, oh God. Which is, you know, you're like, these are fucking special services, special, what are they called? Special ops or whatever. In the heat of the moment, hit him in the face 3 times, bro. And they were like, and you know, he's definitely dead, and why did they never release anything? And he goes, I just don't think that they wanted to give, they didn't want it to look like a celebration. They didn't want anyone else to be celebrating. They didn't want any shrines to be made of him if they buried him properly. That's why they fucked him in the sea. And he's like, so those photos that are out there are fake? And he goes, oh yeah, they're fake. And he goes, the ID photos that we had to do, he's like, and I'm sitting in the car, like fucking staring out the window, and he goes, yeah, we had to basically push, you know, fold his head back together to get the photo. And I was like, nice. Imagine you go like, get a bit of proof there, and they just go like, lifting up a bowl of fucking bolognese. There he is. Back to normal. But it was absolutely fascinating, you know. And I, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, people are always like, what do you listen to that stuff for? Do you support America? You're like, I don't know, but it's fucking pretty goddamn interesting. But then the dudes, you know, the dudes out there being like, I shot him, and fucking, you know, people recognize me in bars now, and, you know, I do shots with people. 3 to the head is right. But if you get a minute, listen to it, it's fuck, Jesus Christ. But then, of course, the guy's like, you know, he's one of these guys like, should we have gone into Iraq and all this here and Afghanistan? And what happens to a lot of these boys who come out of stuff like that? But anyway, exciting. That was my week. Santa and Bin Laden. Well, I call the podcast Santa and Bin Laden. Maybe we'll do that. Anyway, let me watch a couple of vids here before we go. Jesus Christ, since we got wild dark there. These are actually from the Patreon. I'll watch a couple of the videos on Patreon. And then if you want to, or from Patreon, and if you want to get over to patreon.com/generalbanterpodcast, that's where I answer all your questions and we string her out into a nice long conversation. Let me see this motherfucker here. Someone sent me this. Can we play, please?
Let me show you.
Randolph White has sent social media into a frenzy, describing a jet crash he witnessed.
Saw that between a screech and a whistle. I said, what in the world is this?
Okay. He set the internet into a frenzy.
I'm taking a shave.
Randolph White has sent social media into a frenzy.
I'm taking a shave. I already shit and showered.
Saw that between a screech and a whistle. I said, what in the world is this?
Fair play. Well, I mean, nothing funny about that. You know, the man's just describing what he's seen. Anyway, DUP MP says grey squirrels are the Hamas of the squirrel world. Let's see. Fucking hell. Let's go.
And eradicate any greys that venture. Indeed, the very presence of grey squirrels are the Hamas of the squirrel world.
Doing bets, man. I mean, or Jim Shannon compares grey squirrels to Hamas. Yeah, someone's made a point in the comments here. They're actually the Israel, an occupying force that have taken over. They got it. One comment just says, what's the UVF? Does this mean Israel are the grey squirrels? Because I've never seen a grey squirrel bomb a hospital. Oh God, they're getting into it here. I mean, that's him trying to be smart there. I mean,
and eradicate any greys that venture. Indeed, the very presence of
it is funny. I mean, obviously, I don't know when that is. He's wearing a fucking blue and yellow. He's wearing a blue and yellow tie and a ribbon. So I don't know when this is taken from, but I imagine it was whenever the whole Ukraine thing was kicking off. And but you know, maybe in Stormont or whatever, they do talk about a variety of things that they have to sort out. But you know, you're talking about, you know, yes, there's wars going on. You know, there's probably some sort of fuel crisis back then. You know, there's a housing crisis. There's fucking cost of living. The list goes on. You know, there's fucking families where both parents have jobs in the pub. You know, like one of them's a goddamn nurse and the other one's a fucking bus driver. And combined, they're not making enough to fucking pay their rent and buy food for their kids, and they're using a food bank. The list goes on of problems happening in this country at the minute. And then they're, you know, probably throwing the mix, you know, everyone's yapping about fucking borders and this and Brexit and seaboard and fucking protocols and all. And he's up there going, I tell you what, as soon as we get rid of grey squirrels, here are the Hamas of the squirrel world. Welcome to the squirrel world, you know. They're the Hamas of the squirrel world. I mean, what really is the squirrel world? There were some red squirrels and there are some grey squirrels, and the grey squirrels are a lot bigger and scarier, and they've smashed the life out of the red ones. But your woman's right in the comments there. They're more like the Israel. Occupying, taking over. You know? But anyway, once again, you know, information that we now know, we will sleep tonight, as I like to say. We will sleep tonight knowing that the grey squirrels are the Hamas of the squirrel world. Who even knew there was a squirrel world? For fuck's sake. But anyway, I thought that was going to be a lot funnier than it was. But sure, here we are. We're going to wrap it up for this week, my guys. I want to say thanks for listening. I don't know if anyone even prefers these solo podcasts, but I couldn't give a fuck because I have a right laugh to myself sitting in here talking shite. You know, it's therapy when I talk about my being molested by elves. You know? But here we are. Yes, cheers for listening, my guys. If you get on over to patreon.com/generalbanterpodcast, the bonus podcast will be up usually on Thursday or Friday, where I answer all your burning questions from Patreon. We will also have a special up there very soon. And yeah, this will be coming out. When's this coming out? This will be out on Tuesday the 19th. And then our next podcast will be on Boxing Day, so we'll have a full review of my Christmas dinner coming up then. I hope you have a nice Christmas, guys, whatever that means to you. Because, you know, some people aren't arsed about it. Some people just want the dinner. Some people, it's all about the kids. Whatever's a nice Christmas for you. Maybe you don't celebrate Christmas, you know. Maybe you're out there getting a Chinese takeaway on Christmas Day because, you know, you're like, fuck Christmas. But whatever it means to you, hope you get some time off, relax, eat a box of Celebrations, do an Iron McCann, have a full bottle of Bailey's, shit yourself. But whatever it is, I hope you have a lovely time, guys. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you on Boxing Day, you motherfuckers. Good luck and fuck you.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.